Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, and welcome to episode 13 of my podcast, I Shouldn't Say This, But. My name is Katie Leeson, and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. And with me, as always, is producer Dodds.
Hey, guys.
Dodds, episode 13.
Unlucky for some.
But not for us.
Well, actually, it is unlucky, because we got our first one-star review.
We did get a one-star review, so we're not 100% five-star, but there is a massive but there. It's not one-star, actual one-star. We've had one-star because we've had a bit of advice to look at reviews.
Yes.
In general.
Which we will do.
And the one-star does say, don't panic, doesn't it? Don't have a heart attack.
I think we got a one-star review. They like the show.
Yeah.
But they want us to look in... look into the pros and cons of reviews, which is fair.
Which is fair, but it's important to note that the reviews help with the algorithm for the podcast, which means more people will listen to it. So that's why we do talk a lot about reviews, because it means that the more reviews we get, the better, and the higher the reviews we get, the more listens we get. So
we get pushed up the charts.
And we get pushed up the charts.
Which means we can help, hopefully, more people.
Yeah, so that's why we talk a lot about reviews.
But we do appreciate, I get what he's saying.
It's a great way.
He wants pros and cons, and it definitely got our attention.
It's a great way of grabbing our attention, yeah, which is what I was just going to say. The format, as per last week when we changed it, is going to be the same again this week. We've had some very good feedback on it. So today's episode is the personal episode, and the main topic this week is I Shouldn't Say This, But Love Is Hard. So we had really good feedback from the last week's personal episode about relationship breakups. We're going to spin that on its head and try and to be a little bit more positive about that this week. And I'm going to talk through that. And then Wednesday's episode. Oh, no, I got that wrong. Today's Wednesday's episode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I got lost.
That was a test, wasn't it?
And then the second episode, which will be on Monday, is the business episode, where we touch on a business topic, something that might be going on in the office here, or something that you might need a bit of help with from a business perspective. So yeah, this episode is the personal one. The one next week is the business one. So I hope you like the new format. I hope you find it useful, the fact that we split it into two. It has worked well so far from what we can see, because we're back in the top 20 in the UK in the charts, which is lovely. And actually, we've gone international.
Yeah, this was quite funny, I thought, when we found out last week.
We were number one in Portugal and number two in Belgium. Thank you to our listeners in those countries. And then we're also top 50 in the UK, US, Canada, Germany, Slovenia, India, Portugal and Belgium.
I feel like we need some sort of tour, potentially take this on the road, get out. It's a bit stuffy in here, maybe we need to get out on the road, Katie.
I would love that. We did discuss getting a Spice Girls tour bus, Spice World bus.
Which is me, you and Louis the dog. Just on the road.
I think that'd be great.
If we get a sponsorship.
If you want us to appear in your country, please let us know and we'll try and make that happen. So after the positive response of last week, we are going to do another relationship piece, but the other end of the spectrum. So hopefully you'll get something out of that as well, because it's not all doom and gloom. You learn a lot, I think, is the thing from relationships that I want to make sure that everyone understands.
What's been going on, Katie? What's new with you?
Last week I went to help a charity, which is Prevent Breast Cancer, which is a Manchester-based charity. I think I've talked about them briefly before on the podcast, but they put a lot of their time and effort into research into how to prevent breast cancer for future generations. So what they're trying to do at the moment is raise enough funding to help scientific research for screenings, to help people get screened due to their DNA makeup rather than their age and demographic. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. What's the benefits of going via the DNA rather than the age?
Because you're more likely to catch it sooner. More people will get screened at the right time based on their risk factor towards breast cancer.
Why didn't they do that already?
I don't know. They just do it based on age. I think it's women 47 plus get screened now. So it's just a blanket. Everyone at that age gets screened. But they want to start doing it based on your DNA to then hopefully catch it as quickly as they can. I'm very proud to be part of helping them out a little bit. So every year they invite students from Bolton University to produce a marketing plan for Prevent Breast Cancer, and they do a presentation, and you sit and you watch it, and then I give a bit of feedback on what I thought of it.
I just have to apologise. I think Louis is snoring. So if you can hear that, I've got the dog on my lap and he's snoring. I'm going to move him. I wonder what that noise was. Sorry about that. And I interrupted you as well, Katie.
That's okay.
But you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it's really good. I do love seeing it. And I love seeing the ideas. And it's quite useful for my own benefit to understand what students think of marketing and what they think that... So, because the target audience is for women 47 plus, I found it fascinating to see what the students were coming up with as ideas of ways to target them. And one of the ideas was bad dates. So encouraging social conversation about really bad dates that you've had. Mm. To then follow it up with, this is a date you don't want to miss. Oh. Which I thought was very smart.
Yeah,
it was really cool. And their designs were really good as well. So... I really enjoyed that.
What would your story be? What's the worst date you've ever been on?
I think as I've had long-term relationships quite a lot, I don't think I've ever really had a bad date experience. I was thinking about that, yeah.
That's quite good.
It's good
to have a little story, isn't it?
I did go for dinner once with an ex-boyfriend, and I met him, and he was absolutely... excuse me. He was absolutely steaming. And we were met, it was like...
Is it called Dutch Courage?
No, because we lived together at the time, but it was Christmas. So we were meant to be going home to our respective parents for Christmas and we wouldn't see each other. So it was the last time we'd see each other before Christmas. Turned up from work. He was absolutely leathered. And I ended up leaving him in the restaurant and walking out.
Really?
Yeah, I was fuming.
Why did he say something to you?
He was just so drunk. So he probably did say
scene.
Yeah, but just being a drunk idiot. So yeah, I just walked out, left him. Left him with the bill.
Smart.
And then he felt...
That's very smart.
Yeah, he actually fell over when he came outside as well. I was watching him because I didn't go too far. That's a proud story. Yeah, that was quite a proud moment. What else is going on at the moment? In the office, we're doing a bit of new decoration. So I don't know if anyone's ever seen our office, but our office is very cool. We've got a ball pit and a slide, and we've got a train, like a New York train, as a homage to our New York office, that's got little working pods in there. And then we've also now got a jungle. I love the jungle.
And we've got a big fan of the jungle.
Jungle noises.
Favourite bit of the jungle is they've got like a scent thing in there, so
yeah.
It's like when you go in, it's like going into Hollister.
Yes, it is like going into Hollister.
It's a bit dark and it smells
nice. Is there
nice.
Any better smell than going into Hollister? Yeah. Oh, I don't buy anything, I just like to go around. So yeah, we've got a jungle, and then we're starting to then move that around to merge into the other part of the office, so we've got a bit of an Aztec painting theme going on. But we've got one room that is so... It's getting a bit tatty now, because it's been there, and everything else is kind of... been updated as we've gone along. So we've got a room called the White Room. Yeah, so we were trying to figure out what we think this room should be, going from jungle to Aztec, what we should do with it. So if anyone's got any ideas, we'd really appreciate a bit of help there. We've got some, but we want to make sure that that room looks really good.
Yeah. Maybe it should be, you know, like the branding of the Katie Leeson podcast, just pink stripes.
I'm pretty sure.
A big picture of you just in the corner. Shh.
Can you imagine that? Room. I sit and face that room. I don't think I'd want to look at myself all day. And maybe. I don't think anyone else would want to either.
Maybe we could turn it into our specific podcast studio.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you do need a meeting room, but we also need
maybe.
A really pink room.
Maybe.
So,
yeah, I would love to hear your ideas on that, please. So send them in on www.katieleeson.com.
Yeah, email address is on there. And if we like it, we'll make it. That's quite cool.
That is cool.
Maybe, yeah.
Do you want to have a say in what happens in the Social Chain office?
Yeah, if you're a Social Chain fan, we might make whatever your idea is, and then you can come and see it when it's done.
I'll speak to Kira and make it happen. Next thing on our list.
Moving on
is the admission submission for this week.
We keep getting more and more of these, by the way.
We do.
I think that people are enjoying them, yeah.
Yay, thanks everybody.
Or it's just one person, because we don't know, because it's anonymous.
Yeah, I love the fact that it's anonymous,
one
though.
One troubled listener. Well, we're having quite a few.
Remember, if you want to send in your admission submission, you can do it via the website, which, as I mentioned before, is www.katieleeson.com. Or you can get in touch on my LinkedIn, which is just Katie Leeson. Or Twitter, again, same handle. Or Instagram, which is the same handle again. So it's fairly easy for you. There's no real excuses. This week's one is, I shouldn't say this, but all I want to do is leave my stable career as a journalist and see if I can make it on my own, growing my own brand as an influencer and a freelancer. But all I seem to do is talk myself out of it, and now I feel trapped. Okay.
We've had one, I think, similar to this.
Yeah,
before.
We have, which was about, I think that was about going travelling and leaving your career is a similar thing.
They didn't know whether it's just to, they felt stuck or something.
I think when you feel a little bit like you need a change and you're a little bit stuck in what you're doing, it's important, especially if you're going to go out on your own, and especially if you're going to start trying to be a self-employed, which is what influencers are, freelancers are. You need to get yourself ready, and you need to have a stable point to move on to it. So you've gone down, haven't you, now to 4 days a week?
Yeah.
But you only did that at the time when it was right, and you knew that you could cope financially with doing that.
Yeah.
And I think
there was something for me to do on that one day.
Yeah, which is the important thing, I think. If you want to be an influencer and a freelancer, that's absolutely fine. I'd say, to be honest, if it's something you really want to do, I'd start to do that alongside your current job. So you know that there's an appetite there to do it, rather than stepping out of something where you've got a stable income and jumping into being an influencer, where there's quite a lot of influencers. So you need to find your niche. Being an influencer would be great, and it is great if you get it right, but you've really got to have your own individual style, voice, tone to make you stand out and to get your followers. So I would recommend starting that, really understanding what you want to get out of it before jumping fully into it. And you have to be so authentic in your message and what you're putting out there, and then also the brands that you're working with. Don't just take on every single brand just to make money to supplement the journalist job that you've left. You really have to make sure that you are taking on the brand deals that are right for your audience. That means you're going to keep that engagement up, because really what you want, engagement is key as an influencer. Engagement is the thing that you really want to drive. If you've not got an engaged audience, then why are you doing it? The other thing that we recommend is, don't spread yourself too thinly. I don't know whether you've already got an established personal brand. I don't know the size of your following. I don't know the type of content that you're producing, because it's obviously all anonymous. But I think, find an area that is right and a platform that's right for you and your voice. So maybe for a journalist, it's Twitter. Maybe for a photographer, it is Instagram. And we work to a couple of C's, don't we, with our personal branding. Mm-hmm. Collaboration, which means looking at audiences that people that you admire and influencers that you admire follow and try and to jump on the back of that. And then also the main one and the most important one is consistency. It's the thing that Steve, who is exceptional at his own personal brand, and if you've not seen his latest vlogs, they are incredible. I love the fact that now he's talking to camera to sort of narrate
it's really good, isn't it?
It's really cool. Is Steve really hammers home that you need consistency with your personal brand, because you're never going to build a brand unless you've got that consistent message.
All tied up in a nice little bow. Okay. So that is a listener's admission, Katie. What about your own admission submission this week?
My own admission submission this week is... it's all around confidence. My admission for this week is I'm not scared.
Ooh. That's good.
I shouldn't say this, but I'm not scared. So I'm doing my talk on Thursday for KPMG for future leaders. Hopefully I will see some of you there.
Oh, there's been people asking about, because I did go through the emails, people asking about coming.
To the KPMG talk? I think it's a closed thing, because I think you've got to be part of the future leaders scheme.
You'll have to take our word for it that it's good.
Yeah, but I'm looking at doing my talk at other places this year. This isn't the first and one and only, unlike last year. This isn't like once a year talk.
Roll out the talk.
Yeah, roll out the talk for 2019. Talk. No, this is the first of many, hopefully. So I'm sure once we've got our dates lined up, we can share those.
That's
on the
cool.
website. We just
I'd
need
love
to get
to meet people.
Yeah, I'd love to meet you all. I'd love to hear your feedback and meet you in person. I met someone actually at the Prevent Breast Cancer
last week.
Yeah,
what did they say?
He said he listened
to the
podcast.
The person who gave one star review, was it?
No,
not that I'm salty about that, but
I know I can't tell. I'm not bothered about that. I think it's fine because it's not like a true one star. It's not because he hates it. It's just wanted to grab our attention.
We can't please everybody, I guess.
We can't.
Sooner or later, we'll get one star. That's not an invitation, by the way, but it's just...
Please don't do that.
What did they say? Is this the first time it's happened? Somebody you don't know?
Yeah. It was weird because, you know, I don't like introducing myself as, like, what I do and who I am. You know I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know it makes
That's
me uncomfortable.
Imposter syndrome kicking in.
Yeah, my inner imposter makes it very hard for me to say, hi, I'm Katie and I'm MD of social... I don't know why.
Instead, then? You just say you're Katie.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, I know who you are. I listen to your podcast. And I was like, ah!
I shouldn't say this, but I listen to your podcast.
I don't know what to say, you know.
What did you say? Did you just make that noise?
Yeah. I said, oh, thank you.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really
cool.
I hope
they listen to this. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
And thank you for making Katie feel uncomfortable.
So, and in the spirit of not feeling uncomfortable...
Yes, sorry, back to your...
Yeah, in the spirit of not...
I'm not scared.
In the spirit of not feeling uncomfortable, I am not scared about Thursday and getting on stage and talking and doing my talk. This time, it was about March last year. When I did it last time, I was absolutely petrified. And I had to practice and practice and practice. And I was worried about what response I'd get. And I was worried about how people would react to it. I was worried it wasn't going to be useful. I was worried it wasn't going to be long enough. There was a lot of worry.
Yeah.
This time, I feel really confident about it. And I think that's because I have... doing the podcast and talking more and just in general having more conviction. When you have to do the podcast, you've got to have a bit more conviction. It's really helping me with my confidence levels.
When it comes to... public speaking
and life.
Oh, wow!
So thank you.
Don't thank me. Thank you, podcast.
Thank you, podcast. Yeah, I feel a lot more confident in myself and a lot more self-assured, which is something that I've really struggled with in the past. is feeling like what I say is the right thing to say. So,
but you're practicing in here, which is a,
yes,
a safe space of sorts.
It is a safe space because we're kind of in a box.
So it's just me and you.
Yeah, so it's not like I'm talking to a crowd. But I actually feel really confident about Thursday. I've run through it with you, haven't I?
Yeah.
And you liked
it? No spoilers.
No spoilers.
It's a happy ending.
But yeah, I hope that the people on Thursday that hear it will understand a little bit of my journey, understand a little bit more about imposter syndrome and whether they've got it or not. And then also some tips to take away of how to deal with that imposter syndrome.
So if I'm not confident about public speaking or, if you know, something to do with work, what advice from what you've learned from doing this podcast would you give me?
So my advice would be for anyone, if you've got something that you really want to aspire to, something that's on that bucket list that you really want to do, but it feels massively daunting, then take a step back, work out exactly what it is that you want to do and how you're going to break that down, and then try and figure out what skills you need to get you there. You don't have to jump from A to Z right at the beginning. You can just start to understand exactly what stepping stones you need to take and what skill sets you need to build in order to build that confidence as you go along, which will then make the big daunting thing feel less scary when you get there.
So for you?
So for me, it was talking. So for me now, what I do is, and what's helped me for Thursday, is talking in a room with conviction about topics that I now know, because the feedback that I get from you guys is that now I know that it's useful for me to talk about the things that I talk about. Whereas before, I was nervous because I didn't know that the topics that I'm going through other people experienced. So by talking in a room with Dust Dodds and I, just the two of us, but getting your feedback after you've listened to the podcast, that it's helping builds my confidence no end.
So now it's very easy for you to talk to.
Yes. So now I know when I get on stage on Thursday that I already know that it's going to be useful to people in the room. So I don't feel as nervous because I know that what I say, no matter how I say it, it's going to be useful.
That's actually the easiest bit now.
Yeah.
That bit.
Yeah.
Which is like a complete opposite. That's really cool.
So I will let you know how it goes next week.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Going. Am I going?
I think you're coming.
I'm a bit back.
I need to tell them, don't I? Now it is time for the main confession and the main topic. I mentioned earlier that the feedback from last week about breakups and how breaking up is a tough thing to go through, but it actually is the right thing a lot of the time. The feedback that we had on that was incredibly good.
Touching, really, wasn't it?
Really touching. It's like, really touching, and I love just to hear how it, again, how it's helped you. Just me talking about my experiences and what I've learned from it is helping. Even if it helps one person, that makes me happy.
That they can relate.
Yeah.
And they're going through it like right now and you're there to help them.
It's because breakups especially feel very
lonely, isn't it?
Lonely, very isolating. You feel like it's only happened to you. But it's not, and I'm here. So thank you for that feedback. And that has inspired this week's main topic, which is, I shouldn't say this, but love is hard. This week, we're going to talk about how you find... It does sound like I'm talking about Disney. It sounds like I'm in a rom-com.
So after you've broken up with a wrong-un...
After you've left the one that wasn't right for you, how do you find the right one? Or how do you find the one?
Yeah, I'm interested in this as much as anybody else.
So what I've learned through my relationship history is that I've gone from one personality type, which wasn't right, and I've realised it wasn't right. I then moved on to another relationship with someone who was the complete opposite of the first relationship, just totally different in every single way, because I thought that's what I needed because it was a polar opposite to what happened before.
I think that's very relatable.
It's like self-preservation, isn't it? You know that something went wrong in the last relationship, so you're going to try and prevent that by going for the complete opposite to try and make sure that that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, and then you find out...
That isn't right either. that going for a complete opposite to that is also probably not what you need. Yeah. That's what happened to me anyway.
That's my experience as well.
Yeah. So I went from one extreme to another, and that other extreme wasn't right, and we weren't right for each other. But again, that was about 6 years. So we were together a long time. It was great. It was a great 6 years, but it just kind of didn't go anywhere past that. And I took that hard. But I think I took that hard because I thought that I'd found a solution to why the first one didn't go right. I found it really tough when that didn't work because I felt like I'd put everything into trying to make something work because it was totally different to what had gone so wrong before.
Yeah. How did you realise that that was also not working?
I didn't really have a choice, Dot.
Why?
Because I was just running with it and going with it, and it wasn't my decision.
Oh, right. And that's why you took it hard?
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. But it was the best thing, completely the best thing. Because again, it's what I said last week, that person was not giving me what I needed. And I wasn't getting out of that relationship the things that I wanted to make me happy. I was just running with it to try and make them happy, which would in turn make me happy. Which is a whole other topic, which we'll talk about in another episode, because...
That's a whole different kettle of fish, isn't it?
A whole... trying to make someone happy is a hard thing to do. So that's another time. That's for another episode. Then, after that, I had a bit of time on my own. Bought a house, felt very empowered. Felt like I was achieving things on my own. And I didn't need someone else to be able to do those things.
I think that's more attractive than, you know, you're saying in the last one that you're like just trying to make them happy at all times.
Yeah.
I think that... I don't need anybody. It's quite an attractive asset.
I'm incredibly independent anyway, in a relationship or not in a relationship. But I think I just lost a little bit of myself. Not in work. I'm always quite strong and independent in work. But I think out of work, I just kind of went with the flow to make someone else happy, and it wasn't making me happy in the long run. So that when that one ended, I had a bit of time to buy my own house, be a bit stubborn, be a bit independent.
Mm. Did you reflect on like, okay, so this end of the scale didn't work and that end of the scale didn't work?
Only because I went to see Karen.
The therapist?
Yeah, only because I went to see the therapist because she talked to me about, again, finding what makes you happy. So instead of chasing after that relationship that ended that wasn't my choice, but really it was the right thing. So instead of chasing that relationship that ended, making sure that whatever I did next was finding me the things that I wanted. And knowing that the relationship ending meant that I was actually closer towards me getting the things that I actually want out of my life, rather than being in a relationship that was so far away from those things that it made more sense that I was getting closer to those things that I wanted. So that helped a lot. Then I then learned, I think in that time I learned what I want out of a person and what I want out of my partner, and what I want for my life. And taking that step back and really understanding not what someone else wants, not what's going to make someone else happy, but what's really going to make me happy, has then enabled me to find someone who does that. I think now I am in a position whereby I don't think I would be in this relationship and be as happy if I hadn't learned the lessons from the previous ones. But not just lessons from the relationship, but also lessons about myself. I think in those relationships not going the way that I kind of wanted them to has meant that I now know myself better than I ever could before, because I didn't need someone else there to make me me. But it's like anything, when things happen, say in work, and you make a mistake in work, you have to learn from the lessons rather than jump from one thing into the next thing that's not learning that lesson and going for exactly the same thing again, because you're just going to end up back in that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I knew that I'm getting on now. I'm 35 this year. middle-aged, some might say.
Don't look a day over 18, can you?
Thank you. Thanks. You smoothie.
Smoothie.
Yeah, I just made that real conscious decision that I wasn't going to be put in this position again. So whatever I got into next was going to be the thing that, A, was what I really wanted from a person, B, was the type of person that I wanted, and C, was going to give me a life that was going to make me happy. And that was my focus.
So just to recap, just to summarise all those points, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the Katie Leeson 101 Guide to Relationships. So last week we talked about the breakup, and then this is like, I want to word this properly. So in order to find a relationship that does work and hopefully has some longevity, is that you've got to go through those negative ones.
Yeah.
To learn from them. And then not just to go through them and then get with somebody that's similar, because then you've done yourself
You've just not learned your lesson. Yeah. Yeah.
But take the learnings from each one and then apply them to this new scenario, and then that will lead. So it's like one end of the scale wrong, one end of the scale could be right, but
could be right.
Also wrong.
Yeah.
And then,
but that's okay if
and
it is
it's
wrong.
Not like everybody should only have three relationships, but like you go from one end of the scale, one end of the scale, and back and forth and back and forth, and then you find somebody in the middle.
Yeah.
That probably has a little bit of both. Maybe, yeah. Like a Venn diagram is probably better.
A Venn diagram is probably like, right.
Wrong, yeah. Things, wrong things, and then in the middle is a mixture of right things.
Katie's dating history is a Venn diagram. yeah, that's exactly it. So as my mum said, you have to kiss a few frogs, and I've kissed a lot of them, is what she said.
Oh, wow.
But it's true.
She should come on the podcast, that'd be good.
Have my mum on?
Yeah.
She'd just be playing with the dog.
Yeah.
And
then in between those learnings that you're applying, you also apply lessons to yourself, and then self-love, I guess you'd call it. But
yeah, because only
an
you
appreciation
can...
that you're worth.
It's
that.
Not that it's just that that relationship wasn't right, but it's learning the
and
lessons
you deserve
from
more
it.
I guess
it's yeah, and it's also what do you really want. So don't just go with something because you think that is the right thing to do. It's what go with something because you know that it's really right. It's what you really really deep down want for your life. So yeah, learn, I think, is the big thing.
Yeah.
We always talk about learning from your mistakes, but I don't think we do it as much with our own personal life. So learn from things that go wrong and why they went wrong, and then what you want to happen next time to make it right. Learn about yourself, because that'll tell you more than anybody else ever could what you want and what's going to make you happy. And don't be afraid, and don't, and it is devastating. Relationship breakups are devastating, but don't feel too disheartened, because it's a stepping stone to getting what you want. So for myself, I've learned those lessons, and I've learned about myself, and now I am extremely happy. Everyone can see how happy I am as well, I think. You know, don't you?
Yeah. I really like Dave, your other half.
Yeah, he is...
He's a bit of a character.
He's a massive character. But he's incredibly kind, caring, thoughtful. He's just what I need, which is the lessons that I've learnt. So very happy at the moment. And I'm hoping that that will have helped you listeners as well. Rather than it being about breakups, it's more about making sure you know yourself better than anyone else ever could, so you can then take that into your next relationship and make sure that you're the happiest you can be. Please share and like, and also share with your friends that might need this bit of advice. I'd also love to hear from anyone who's been through similar experiences and now has learnt the lessons and then now is in a good place with their life and their relationships. So please feel free to share this around. And I'm hoping it's useful for everybody, regardless of what stage you're in. I hope you find that useful.
I'm sure people will be able to relate to this topic, probably out of all of the topics we've done, I think.
I hope so.
In terms of making mistakes and kissing a lot of frogs.
Yes, the main thing is just remember my mum saying that people kiss frogs, but you've kissed a lot of them. So tell a friend who might need this advice, and please let us know if you've been through this and you've learned from it, and let us know where you are up to now. And that is it for this week's episode. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you found it useful, and we will see you in a few days for the business episode.